Word of God, I do have an assignment tonight, and I believe it's going to bless you. And I'm not going to hold you long, but I do want to go to Hebrews chapter 9, and I will start out in the NLT and verse number 16 through 17. And our pastor did such a great job of laying out the roadmap of what God is saying during this conference, and that is vindication, validation, and victory. He heard from God, amen, to say the least. And as a matter of fact, last year, at the end of the year, God began to speak to both of us. I told my brother, I said, I keep hearing the word validation, and he heard the word vindication, and we began to collaborate and know what God was really, really saying. And so in that space, as we were both hearing from the Lord, tonight I want to make this night about validation. And I think it's going to be very, very crucial that you tap into what I believe God is saying for you individually, because the man of God says that this is the faith conference. You know what should happen in a faith conference? You should increase in faith. Is anybody excited about increasing in faith? Well, we're going to get you validated tonight, and we're going to get your faith up, but we're going to preach faith in a way, amen, that you may have not heard before. Some of the more senior people in the room, I think, probably have. But I'm going to help you tonight to really understand how to get your faith flowing. I mean, you're going to be able to do anything that this Bible says you can do. You're going to be able to have anything that this Bible says you can have based on the foundation that we're going to lay tonight. Is that exciting? Amen. So with that in mind, let's look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 16. And I want to be, amen, very didactic and really break this scripture down, and we're going to move to some others. The Bible says, now when someone leaves a will you say the word will, please? Come on, will you say the word will, please?
Will.
When someone leaves a what? A will. When someone leaves a will, it is necessary first, you could say, to prove that the person who made the will is dead. Is this in the Bible? The will goes into effect only after the person's death, because while the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect. When a person makes a will, let's read it again, it is necessary to first prove that the person who made the will is dead. The will goes in effect only after the person's death, and while, again, the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot, that is, the promises of the will cannot be put into effect. We're going to get your faith perking tonight, and we're going to talk tonight from the thought, and we've been dealing with this back at home, but this is another branch of that tree. I'm going to talk about when God finds a man, amen. But more specifically tonight, we are talking about releasing faith by operating in the will of God. Releasing faith by operating in the will of God. Some years ago, a sheriff showed up on my doorstep, rung the doorbell with papers in his hand as he was to serve somebody. And how many of y'all know, generally speaking, most of us don't like being served by the sheriff. If you're being served, usually it means you're about to be sued or something like that. And so I wonder why this man with the, you know, in our Met County with the brown khaki top and green pants, why he was at my door. And Mr. Rogers, will you open the door, ringing the doorbell? And once we answered him, he said to me, very respectfully, he said, are you Gabriel Rogers? I said, well, yes, I am. He said, I've been looking for you. I'm looking for a Gabriel Rogers because there is a relative that has died. And we've been trying to locate Gabriel Rogers. But because we have a lack of information, we have had to basically pursue all of the Gabriel Rogers in the state of North Carolina. And you happen to be one of them, so we're knocking on your door to see if you are the right Gabriel Rogers. He had a will in his hand, And in his hand was umpteen dollars and cents that belonged to the right Gabriel Rogers. Y'all gonna see where I'm going in a minute. And this was revelatory to me because I realized, amen, that once they found the right Gabriel Rogers, he was gonna be doing quite well. Amen. So they started going down the family tree and they said, do you have a cousin named so-and-so? Do you have an uncle that lives in Columbia? Do you have an aunt that does thus and so? They began to call out certain people's names. And as they began to call those people's names out, I realized that I was not the right Gabriel Rogers. Everybody say, oh, shucks. Mama, that was ouch. Amen. Yet God was teaching me something in that moment, you know. I had to be honest with the man and say, I'm not him. I think, you know, the right Gabriel Rogers may be in another state, or rather another city in North Carolina. But thank you for coming by today. And furthermore, I'm real glad that I'm not under arrest. Amen. That was good news too. Amen. But it was revelatory, Lady Long, because I realized that this is how God deals with many Christians. The will of God is on a constant search for them, but for many, they never end up there. Many people never end up in the will or in the plan of God. And as a result, all the inheritances and all the things and all of the resources that God would want them to have, all of the stuff even that belongs to them because they have been scripted out in the will, as a result of all of that, amen, because they are unfound or because they don't answer the clarion call of the will of God, they never end up becoming or getting everything that God wanted them to have. And how many of y'all know almost is a tragedy? Will of God trying to find me? Will of God trying to capture me? Will of God trying to get me to join the right church? Will of God trying to get me under the right mentorship? The will of God trying to get me to simply say yes to the offer that God is making? Yet, because I'm absent and unfindable and not in his plan, as a result, all of those resources in many cases, in this example, go back to the government or go somewhere where it should not go, and instead of being what it should be to me. How many of y'all know we don't need to miss the will of God? Are you all still here? I like to say it this way. So many Christians today are on spiritual life support because their spirit knows what the will of God is, but their soul and body won't obey it. Their spirit knows. The Bible says, as he is in this world, so are we. The spirit in you, your regenerated self, knows that you should be more, that you could be more, that you could have more, that God wants more for your life, that God has called you to be a preacher. God has called you to be a man or woman of God. Yet, because you won't acquiesce to the will that's trying to find you, your spirit man is being smothered by a soul and a body that won't agree with God. Somebody say, not so for me. Come on, somebody say, I want to be in the will of God. Pastor, you would know this, but it was the great F.F. Bosworth that says, faith begins where the will of God is known. And I love that slogan. I love that saying. I believe that's very anointed. I began to pray and really get with God, though, and I believe he gave me the next sentence. Faith begins where the will of God is known, but faith continues where the will of God is done. Faith continues where the will of God is carried out. Let me say it this way. Your faith, amen, is going to be validated. Your faith is going to start working when you are in the direct, unadulterated plan of God. What am I trying to say? Faith backs the will of God. The will of God is carried out, but it's carried out because faith backs the will of God. That is, when I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what ends up happening? All these other things are added. So because I'm in the will of God and I plant a church, amen, an Acres Home like the Lord told me to plant, amen, my faith is going to start working because I'm no longer asking God to bless what I'm doing. I'm officially in what God is blessing. And because I'm in what God is blessing, because I'm in the will of God, amen, then I can ask what I will and I won't be lacking anything. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will. How many of y'all know? And it shall be done.
Amen.
But why? Because I'm now in the will. Are y'all seeing where I'm going tonight? God bless you, woman of God. I'm in the will of God. And when I get in the will of God, my faith starts percolating. I get in the will of God, stuff starts operating the way it's supposed to operate because I'm officially in the plan of God. If I told you now, everybody in this room that would like to have more money, raise your hand. That'd be easy to do. If I said those of you who are single in this room that, amen, wouldn't mind having a husband or wife, raise your hand. That would be easy to do. If I said if you desire a new house, raise your hand. That would be easy to do. If I said you would desire a new job with an extra zero at the back of your current salary, it'd be easy for you to raise your hand. But in many cases, if I ask the same question in a different direction, and that is, how many people are both willing and knowing what the will of God is right now, there'd be very few hands that could legitimately go up. Now, you might put them up because you're in church. But I'm talking about putting up to say, no, Father, you have called me for such a time as this, and I'm going to do exactly, everybody say exactly. Without compromise, exactly what you say. I promise you, in Christendom, that is few and far between, because the bottom line is most people in most churches today are not in the will of God. Now, I know that's accurate because, quite frankly, amen, KCOH in the spirit is the biggest church in Houston, Texas. Ooh, we going somewhere now. And it's the biggest church in Houston, Texas because God finally found a man that he could trust, and he finally found a first lady that's not a Jezebel, and he finally found, come on, somebody, he finally found somewhere where somebody could come and be made new and get on track and money is handled right and the anointing is flowing and the power of God and the word of faith is taught. And I thank God for your hand claps on that. But here's the revelation. But why aren't those people here? Not an indictment on you tonight. Stay with me. They're not here because they're not in the
will.
So that implies that God doesn't always get what he wants.
That's true.
He said in his word, I would that
all
men.
Yeah.
How many men are supposed to be coming? And then he goes on and said, it's my wish that none should perish. How many people did Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost actually want to go to hell? None. Yet, we understand that both hell, the grave, and hell, the literal place, regardless to what Hebrew or Greek word you use, we understand that it is being enlarged every single day. So God doesn't always get what he wants. Amen. God has some desires. God has a will. And we might press into more of this tomorrow night. But this whole concept of God finding a man is God wanting you to understand that he wants to incentivize you by that will that is looking for you. By his word that is trying to find you. Come unto me, all ye that are laboring heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on, life is taxing. Life is difficult. COVID was hard in 2019. But come on to me, all of you that are laboring heavy laden. Come on to me. Psalm 91 will apply to you. No plague will get unto you. Come on to me, everybody that's lacking that don't have money, because I'll be your shepherd and you shall not want. Come on to me and I'll protect you. Come on to me, I'll make you the head and not the tail. All of that is in my, it's in my will. But very few people get in the will so that they can get the manifestation of the will. But when you get in the will, y'all, and I'm telling you something I know from experience, amen, I'm not a novice at this, listen to me tonight. When you get in the plan of God, when you get in the will of God, your faith is going to start working. Why? Because God is going to be helping you. God is going to be tooling you. Amen. Speaking of validation, this is revelatory tonight. We talked about looking from where you are. And sometimes, amen, the will of God doesn't currently look like what you want it to look like today. Sometimes, amen, even the plan of God can look bleak for a time period. That's why he constantly says stuff like don't grow weary in well doing, because he knew that the temptation would be to do that. He knew what you would be looking like. Can we look at the first church again? He knew what you would be preaching in. He knew what you would be trying to get done, amen, for his kingdom. This is where I started my church, and I shared this earlier. Amen. This was an unsafe building, amen, uninhabitable, amen. Didn't have the money and resources. This is enough years ago by now, but didn't have everything necessary to get it all underway, but trusted God and started believing God. Didn't go in the building while it was unsafe. Did construct it enough to at least get in the building, but amen. At this time, amen, it didn't look like what I know God told me I would have. But I'm in the will of God. And because I'm in the will of God, amen, even though it doesn't resemble, amen, what I know I should have, I gotta reconcile that for the joy of what is up before me, if I would, come on, Romans chapter 12, endure this cross. Endure what I have right now and despise the shame, I would at some point in the future, if I don't quit, see the manifestation of the what class? Of the will of God. Now, what gets me out of here, amen, to where we are now today, a debt-free campus with multiple acres? What gets me out of here to where we are today? Come on, building homes for unwed moms. What gets me out of here to where we are today? I'm in the will of God, and because I'm in the will of God, my faith is working, and I'm going to go at lightning speed. Are y'all seeing where we're going tonight? Yeah. Amen. So then I began to move, amen, from here to what my vision was the whole time. Next slide, Sister Diamond. I begin to look from where I am, and I begin to look at this church, amen, and that is the final church where we finally ended up, and we thank God for that. And I end up coming out of where I was to where God really wanted me to be, but he got me where I wanted to be because faith was working where I was. Why though? Why? No, come on, get it. Because you're in the what of God?
Will.
You're in the will of God. You're in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, the blessing is helping you.
Yeah.
Come on, validation, vindication. You're in the will of God. You go to prison, the pit, amen, before you get to the palace, Joseph. But you know everything is going to be all right because God's blessing is on you. Come on, somebody. And any minute now, you coming up out of the pit. Come on, somebody. You coming up out of the prison. I wish I had a praying church tonight. You coming up out of any rut that you're dealing with right now. Because as long as I'm in the will of God, it doesn't matter how hard it gets. If God be for me, who can be against me? Because I'm officially in the
will.
I'm in the will. And when I'm in the will, my faith is working.
It's working.
It's working.
Yeah, yeah.
It's working. It don't look like it's working all the time.
Come on.
Can you trust God when you can't trace him?
Yeah.
When you don't know where he is. Hallelujah. When you're wondering when God, why God, how God, what God, it's so difficult right now. Well, we look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal. We look at the things that are not seen, because the things that are not seen are eternal. And come on, we walk.